Welcome to GeekWire. I'm GeekWire co-founder Todd Bishop. This is a special bonus episode of the GeekWire podcast following up on a topic that we covered last week. I'm talking now with Chris DeVore. He is founding managing partner at Founders Co-op and the former managing director of Techstars Seattle. Hey, Chris, thanks for jumping on.
No, thanks for having me, Todd. I appreciate it.
So we talked a lot last week, Taylor Soper, my colleague and I, on last week's episode about the closure of Techstars Seattle. Of course, the two of us are looking in from the outside. You're no longer inside, but you were for many years. So we thought it would be interesting to jump on with you and get your perspective, not only on what happened at Techstars Seattle, but from a bigger picture, what's going to happen next and what the future of accelerators are in the startup community. First off, can you give us a sense for someone who didn't participate in a Techstars Seattle program back in the heyday? What was it like? What did it feel like to be in the middle of it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll try to be brief because I know we got to get to the point here. But the original promise, I think, of both Techstars and Y Combinator, and they started right around the same time, it was such a powerful new idea at the time, which is, you know, it used to be that to start a startup, you needed to raise millions of dollars in venture capital and have a big team. And because of the sort of collapse in the cost of starting startups because of open source software and cloud infrastructure, there was this moment when all of a sudden people realized, hey, it takes a lot less money to start things. And the limiting reagent in startup success is just extraordinarily talented people, talented, ambitious people who want to make a difference in the world. And if you can get those people together and provide them just a little bit of resource, but lots of support and mentorship, they can create magical things. And I think that the outputs that you saw of early generations of Techstars and YC classes proved that that was true. But it really was this spirit. And, you know, Techstars created this ethos they called Give First, which is like, hey, this isn't about the money at the outset. Sure, we're all investors and we're in this to try to make things work. But there was a real sense of collaboration and community support of ambitious young founders who wanted to make a difference in the world and the community coming together to help them. And I admit I'm sort of nostalgic for that moment. That moment came and went with the zero interest rate bubble and sort of the boom and collapse that's come since. It's taken 10 years for it all to play out. But there was a golden moment in startup formation that was really a joyful time to be a part of the work.
And as you say, we don't need to dwell on this. I'll point people to the really detailed and thorough, even-handed blog post that you did about what went wrong at Techstars. But essentially, it comes down to this line from your post: slowly, inevitably, Techstars' bet on corporate customers at the expense of founders came home to roost.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, again, like our investment firm is called Founders Co-op for a reason. I think I believe we as a partnership believe deeply in the kind of unreasonable commitment of founders to make a difference in the world is really the animating spirit of creating companies. And that's not typically done in partnership with corporates. It's often sort of in opposition to, not in a confrontational way, but it's saying, look, there's got to be a new way of doing things. And I think it's very hard to hold in your idea, the two ideas at the same time, which is I'm going to serve the needs of corporates that pay my bills, and I'm going to support the needs of founders that want to just, you know, pursue the opportunity that they're pursuing. Trying to stitch those two communities of interest together is essentially a recipe for failure. And that's the choice that Techstars unfortunately made.
And I should just state for the record, there's been some pushback on your post from the Techstars CEO, and I thought it was, you're welcome to respond to that if you'd like. I don't know how much.
No. I mean, again, I think, you know, I guess I would say I was surprised at sort of the personal attacks and the vitriol that came with it. Like typically professionally run organizations engage in a little bit more of a I don't know what's the right professional way. But it clearly struck a nerve. I didn't intend to attack Techstars. And, you know, it's funny, the way I put it to friends recently is I have been mourning the death of Techstars for years. This isn't a new idea. I didn't feel at liberty to say anything because I wanted to be supportive of the program in Seattle and the leadership in Seattle that was trying to carry forward, I think with good intent, all the ideas that we started it with, even as the organization drifted away from its principles. But not only when they canceled the Seattle program, but when they sort of threw the Seattle market under the bus and said, oh, well, Seattle's not important enough for us to do anymore. I was like, come on, you guys, that's not being honest with us or the rest of the world about what's really happening. And if you're not going to be honest, I'm going to do it for you. Not in a mean-spirited way, but in a genuine spirit of honest feedback about where I think you made mistakes. But you know, again, it clearly made him mad, and I'm sorry to have made him mad, but I didn't feel like I needed to sit on my feelings any longer.
David Cohen, the Techstars co-founder and chairman, came out with a post just this week where he said, we're strengthening our ability to invest in more startups and their founders than any other company in the world. And helping founders be successful has always been our goal. I took that as kind of an implicit response to at least the sentiment that you expressed in your post as well.
Yeah, no, and I think they are. I mean, the hard part for them is if they existed all alone in the world, they could control the narrative. And this is one of the points that I made in my post is Y Combinator is not a perfect organization. No organization is perfect. But in terms of staying true to the spirit of understanding that the founder is your customer and you exist to serve the interest of founders and you want to attract the best founders in the world, like it's not about how many startups you invest in. It's are you getting the best, most ambitious founders to come through your system? And Y Combinator is the counterfactual to all of the narrative, which is Y Combinator has stayed true to its principles, has created objectively, quantitatively more successful outcomes year after year, and Techstars has sort of drifted away from that. So it's a really useful A-B comparison of what good or what better looks like to compare the two side by side.
Well, to your point, they said as part of the memo that went out, as of the fall of 2024, Techstars will be doubling down on accelerators in cities with the highest concentration of VC activity and other startups to maximize our impact, San Francisco, New York, Boston, and LA. And that did kind of get taken in the local community as you said, throwing Seattle under the bus. And to David Cohen's point, I mean, he did say, you could tell he was doing a little damage control in this post. He said, for those of you in Boulder or Seattle that interpreted the communications as a disparagement of the startup community and its impact, that was definitely not the intent. We're sorry for that. But here's my question for you, Chris. San Francisco, New York, Boston, LA, why isn't Seattle in this group?
You know, I grew up in Seattle. I love Seattle. I lived in the Bay Area for a long time. I feel like I know both of those two markets really, really well. So let's use those as the locus of comparison. Seattle has always been what I call a company town, right? Which is we have extraordinarily successful platform companies that are moving the world of technology. And and when I was a kid, it was Boeing, and then it was Microsoft, and then it was Amazon, and frankly, now it's Microsoft again. I mean, it's a terrific place, and it attracts extraordinary people. But most college kids don't get out of school wherever they are and say, I'm going to move to Seattle to be a founder. It's just not the brand that we built for ourselves or the culture we've created. It doesn't mean that extraordinarily talented people don't move here, but more often than not, they're moving here to be a part of a big, successful platform company. Now, what inevitably, most people aren't founders, don't want to be founders. It's not the journey they want for themselves. Some fraction of the people that move to Seattle realize, hey, I don't really want to carry water for Satya or for Jassy or whomever. I want to do my own thing, but my community is here and my life is here and my family's here. I'm going to do it here. How do I do that? And we as a community have always sort of struggled to figure out how to support them in the right way. That was the spirit of Techstars when we started it. That was the spirit of the fund that I started, Founders Co-op, which is we're never going to be the Bay Area. Let's not pretend that we are. We attract extraordinary people. Some of them are going to want to build companies here. Let's create the richest, most hard-driving, ambitious platform of just to help them succeed that we can. But let's not pretend, or let's not wish we were somebody else. Let's be who we are, but let's be that down to the ground and be it with excellence. That's the spirit I think that the Seattle startup community has nurtured, and over the past many years I've been doing this work, I think we have significantly advanced that cause. But I don't even think aspiring to be another city is it makes sense as an aspiration. And I can go on and on about why, like how the capital markets endorse that and why the flows of money and the kind of conservatism of allocators to venture capital mean that we never really will have a native venture capital industry in Seattle, which doesn't mean that we don't need to help people start companies here. We do. That's our work. But there's a whole system of support in terms of capital markets and progression that we can connect them to that exists in San Francisco and New York. I think arguably probably not some of the other cities that Techstars is excited about. But, let's be who we are as authentically and with excellence. Let's not keep comparing ourselves and wishing we were somebody else. It's not constructive and it's not necessary.
Okay, so that's the backdrop. Super helpful to get that context and history. What I want to talk about next is what's next and what might happen in Seattle. So let's do that. When we come back, you're listening to GeekWire and we'll be right back.
Technology moves fast. I need to move faster. WGU's competency-based education puts me in control of how fast I move through my IT degree program. I can accelerate my program by applying what I already know to my courses and focusing on the things I need to learn. Earn a respected accredited degree that propels your career in the IT field. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT Certs Included.
Welcome back. It's Todd Bishop. I'm speaking on this special bonus episode with Chris DeVore. He is the founding managing partner at Founders Co-op, former managing director of Techstars Seattle. So Chris, we've got this backdrop and we know what happened last week. Techstars Seattle is no more. So when you look at today's world, remote work, AI, spatial computing, and then you think about everything you just said about the Seattle market, a thought experiment. How would you create an accelerator from scratch in today's world in the Seattle tech community?
You know, I think if I were to do it, not that you, like, the worry is that you repeat patterns of mistakes as well as success from the past. You have to examine everything from first principles. But I think a lot of the conditions that necessitated the creation of a Y Combinator or a Techstars are still true, which is, particularly with AI, it's extraordinary how much product a small, lean, lightly funded team can create, because, you know, not just open source and cloud infrastructure, which are sort of the unlocks of the first wave, but now you've got AI assistance for coding so that even small teams can generate a lot more product. I mean, again, there's the craft of creating software is still done by humans, to be clear. It's not done by AI, but there are productivity levers that people can apply to accomplish a lot with very small, lean teams. That's all true. So I think the mistake probably is to look outside of Seattle and say, it's sort of like, oh, well, we need Bay Area capital to start companies. No, it doesn't take that much money to start companies. There's plenty of wealth in the Pacific Northwest. We have the money. We don't have the money to carry it all the way. That we need the capital markets to get us to public, to IPO. But at the pre-seed and seed stage market, there's plenty of wealth in the Northwest to do the work from a capital standpoint. And the same thing is true from a community sense. We don't need a Techstars or a Y Combinator. There are extraordinary people here, founders, executives, leaders who've lived through the startup journey from inception through high growth and success, that have a spirit of community and giving back and essentially mentoring other people. We don't need to look outside Seattle. We just need to create a framework and a fabric that allows those people to engage in the work in a high quality, high performing way that treats their time and know-how with respect. And also gives them a curated set of companies, so that, like, lots of people want to be entrepreneurs. Not all of them are going to achieve great things. One of the benefits of a Y Combinator or Techstars is it curates a set of companies that truly are extraordinary or judged to be on that trajectory. And by doing the curation, you promise the people who engage, investors and mentors and others, that the time is going to be well spent. And that's something that we don't need anybody outside of Seattle to do. And I think we'll find over the next, you know, weeks and months that the community comes together to create another local homegrown version that's not Techstars in any way. It's its own thing, but it takes that same spirit of extraordinary founders, high quality curation, and a fabric or a framework that allows people to engage and support those founders in the right way for their stage of performance.
It's really interesting, because looking at the community efforts in the past and the efforts to form accelerators and incubators, they tend to be, if not Techstars or Y Combinator, associated with specific funds or VC firms. And obviously Founders Co-op was heavily involved at the early stages of Techstars Seattle, but you also did things in a neutral way that allowed participation from others in the community. How does that happen here again, if not through something structured like a Techstars?
Techstars, like, setting aside the brand, it's just an idea and some people's efforts to create a framework. Like, all you need is the right leaders and some lawyers to create some paperwork. There's no magic in it, right? It's human leadership and intention and commitment that causes anything good in the world to happen. At the beginning, the thing that was called Techstars in Seattle was funded collaboratively by Founders Co-op, by Madrona, by Trilogy Equity Partners. So there were lots of players, as you say, that came together and said, this needs to exist. It's not our work. You know, it's not core to our mission, but it supports our mission. We want to help it happen again. And I think we'll see that same kind of coalition come together around it. And it'll come around some leaders who have committed themselves to the work. I'm not going to dive back in. I did that, and I'm going to do other things. And the same's true for Aviel and others who've been MDs here. But there are people who want that journey and who want to be leaders of that kind of a thing. And I think the community will support them.
Got it. So you're not directly involved, so I can't put the screws to you on this.
Nope. I don't want to speak on anyone else's behalf, but I am following the conversation, and I think we as a firm will be supportive of what comes together, and I'm excited to see that happening.
Good. Okay. So just for the record, my next question was going to be, what do you know and what can you say about what might fill the void in Seattle?
I know a little, I can say not very much. But I think one of the great things, and again, I didn't write the post that I wrote to try to make anybody mad or to injure Techstars. It was a genuine statement of what I think the sort of first principles of design need to be for something like this. And what I'm excited to say is I think getting those ideas out there in a way that everyone could sort of consume them and discuss them and debate them has created a useful jumping off point for what's next, because it talks about, again, this idea of, the by the community, for the community, curated, supporting high performing founders in a way that's good for all of us and benefits people in the community. We don't need anybody outside. And I think a lot of those ideas are being brought to bear in the conversation that's happening now about what might be next.
One of the other things that David Cohen said in his post was, quote, more business is being done virtually, communities are more interconnected, and a physical accelerator in a particular city is less important than building the best possible support for founders located there. Do you need a physical location to replicate this effect in today's world?
It's a good question. I guess what I have seen is, like, organizations are human constructs. Right. They're not, they don't float in the ether. It's not like, bits that kind of, move around by themselves. It takes human leadership, human agency, human collaboration and trust and all those things to get an idea to be instantiated as an organization that builds and sells and delivers for customers. Organizations, as they scale, generally become more distributed because they've got customers in lots of places. But in my experience, the founding moment tends to be people who, like, it's a long and arduous journey to build a company, as you guys know, because you've been building Geekwire for as long as I've been doing what I've been doing. And at some point, some humans have to look each other in the eye and be like, we're going to do a really hard thing together. And we know it's not going to be easy. And we're going to have disagreements and fights and challenges. But we're going to join hands and we're going to go do something hard. And that often is done by people who know and trust and like each other and are willing to sign up to do what that looks like. And that's typically people who, whether they're currently in the same geography or not, at some point in their lives, they came together in a way that allowed them to build the foundation of trust and care that makes that possible. So I think that starting companies begins with humans who look each other in the eye, and that tends to be in the same physical space.
I was looking back at a YouTube video that my colleague John Cook did back in 2010 of the Founders Co-op and Techstars Seattle offices at the time. And there you were in the thick of it, right in the middle at your desk. John was asking you, like, why aren't you distracted, Chris? And you explained, you've got great focus. And it strikes me, obviously we're chatting here and I think you're working virtually today. And I just wonder, do you miss personally being in the middle of a sort of a hive like that, a startup hive?
I do. And the truth be told, I have one. So Techstars, years ago, we moved Techstars and Founders Co-op into Startup Hall and UW campus. That's still my office because there's less energy around me there because the Techstars program isn't running. And, I would like to think that whatever happens next would happen in a physical space like that. And I would have a way of coming and participating in it. So yeah, I do miss that. I think COVID threw all of us for a loop in terms of, it gave us a gift in terms of being able to be, more flexible in how we work. But I think that people need people. Like they need to be together. They need not just professional interactions, but the kind of loose interactions that make us all feel seen and noticed and valued. And I think that happens in real life. So yeah, I miss it.
All right. Last little trip down memory lane here, Chris. 2011 was really a watershed year for Seattle, for Techstars Seattle. The cohort that went through the Techstars Seattle program was remarkable in that it produced three unicorns, companies valued at more than $1 billion. Two of them are still based here in the Seattle region. One of them is a publicly traded company, Remitly. The other is a company that's at the top of our Geekwire 200 list of the top startups outreach.
I saw that.
So what was so great about 2011?
I would say, and this is probably going to be an unsatisfying answer, that to some extent, the best founders tend to come out of the woodwork when things are hard.
Yeah.
Those founders were starting to think about starting something in the depths of the global financial crisis, right? And so the kind of people who are willing to take that kind of risk against the insurmountable odds of being an entrepreneur ever tend to be really gritty, determined founders. So there was, not only was there sort of moment that I described in terms of the cost of being an entrepreneur had fallen and there was a sort of creative ferment, but it was a really dark time in the global economy. And one of the things that has been dispiriting about the last decade or so is, you know, with zero interest rate policies and kind of easy money as a way to get us through the financial crisis and then through COVID, it started to look easy. Like being an entrepreneur started to look easy and raising money seemed easy. And there were all these great stories about unicorns. And it sort of, it tends to bring out less committed, less, more mercenary and less kind of missionary founders. One of the things I'm frankly excited about the current economic cycle is a lot of the air has come out of that balloon. And I think we're actually poised for a really exciting renaissance or a moment of excellence like we saw back then in not only in Seattle, but in the global ecosystem. So it's hard, those resets are hard and uncomfortable. People lose their jobs. I don't want to make light of any of that. But I really think it was less about the magic of Techstars or Seattle than it was the business cycle and the kind of founders that are willing to take that kind of risk when things are hard.
Marcelo Calbucci, the entrepreneur and startup community leader, wrote a great post about this for GeekWire a while back about the class of 2011 and Techstars Seattle. And you told him very much what you just said. You said the world was just coming out of a dark period, and the only people willing to start companies at the time were the deeply committed founders who could not not do what they were doing.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that to my core. I think founders are people of extraordinary ability and commitment, and much of the good in the world happens from people who are willing to buck the trend. And it's joyful work to support them, and I'm grateful for you, what you guys done to do that. And I think Seattle is setting itself up for a great moment in its entrepreneurial journey.
Right. And my point was going to be in bringing that up with you. To your point, it does seem to describe 2024 in the abstract. Obviously, the details are different. We're coming out of a dark period. Venture capital has dried up. It seems like those committed founders who couldn't not do what they were doing are around again and have an opportunity to prove themselves.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm feeling very excited for our fund and for Seattle and for all of us who do what we do to support entrepreneurs in Seattle. I think it's going to be a really exciting couple of years ahead of us.
And then you add artificial intelligence on top of that, it just starts to get really interesting.
Agreed. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for jumping on. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for asking. And thanks for carrying this conversation forward. I think it's a really important one for the community.
I'll link from the show notes on this podcast to all of the posts and articles that we discussed. We'll be back this weekend with our regular weekly episode of the GeekWire podcast. Until then, I'm GeekWire co-founder Todd Bishop. Thanks for listening to the GeekWire podcast.
This GeekWire podcast is sponsored in part by Yale University Press. Are you concerned about the rise of AI and how it will impact our society? Every day, artificial intelligence presents us with urgent ethical challenges. How do we harness this extraordinary technology to empower rather than oppress? Nigel Shadbolt and Roger Hampson have written a how-to for building ethical machine intelligence. Their new book, As If Human, Ethics and Artificial Intelligence, is now available wherever books are sold.